Shalom and welcome to Daily Bread for Busy Moms, a daily Bible reading podcast that goes through the whole Bible in a year. We follow along with the weekly Torah portions and read daily from the Torah, the prophets, the writings, and the apostles. If you want to learn more about the podcast or connect with us online, find us at dailybreadmoms.com. There you'll find information about the journal. That's the Bible reading plan that we use, which Bible translation we use, and how to contact us. You'll also see information about how you can support the podcast by becoming a patron and how we can connect with you more. We've got some new things for our sweet patrons and are excited to let you hear from us in more ways beyond the daily Bible readings. So find us at dailybreadmoms.com. We look forward to connecting with you. Let's get to our podcast episode for today. Shalom. This is Johanna, your reader today. Today is Wednesday, the 13th of March, and on the Hebrew calendar, it is the third day of Adar Bet, or Adar 2. Today in history, the second temple was completed. In Ezra 6:15, it says, "This temple was completed on the third day of the month Adar. It was the sixth year of the reign of King Darius." This week, our parasha, or portion from the Torah, is called Pkudei, which means countings. And today we're going to start in Exodus 39, 33 through 43. But first, let's take a moment to bless God and thank Him for His word. "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to his people Israel and to all peoples through his Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master." Exodus 39:33. "Then they brought the tabernacle to Moshe, along with the tent and all of its furnishings, its clasps, its boards, its crossbars, its pillars, and its bases, along with the covering of ram skins dyed red, and the covering of seal skins, the veil of the curtain, as well as the ark of the testimony with its poles and the atonement cover, the table and all of its utensils, the showbread, the pure menorah with its lamps to be set in order, along with all of its utensils, and oil for the light, the golden altar, the anointing oil, the sweet incense, and the curtain for the entrance of the tent, the bronze altar, its grating and its poles, along with all of its utensils, and the basin and its base, the hangings for the courtyard, with its pillars, its bases, and the curtain for the gate of the courtyard, with its cords and its pegs, along with all the instruments for the service of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, as well as the woven garments for ministering in the sanctuary, the holy garments for Aaron the Kohen and for his sons to serve as Kohanim. According to everything that the Lord had commanded Moshe, Bnei Israel had done all the work just so. When Moshe saw the entire work and that they had done it just as the Lord had commanded, Moshe blessed them." That was Exodus 39:33 through 43. And now our portion today from the prophets is 2 Kings 24. "In his days, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babel invaded. So Jehoiakim became his vassal for 3 years. But he turned and rebelled against him. Then the Lord sent against him marauding bands of the Chaldeans, Arameans, Moabites, and Ammonites. He sent them against Yehuda to destroy it, as was the word of the Lord that he had spoken by the hand of his servants, the prophets. Surely, at the command of the Lord, this happened to Yehuda, to banish them from his presence because of all the sins of Menashe and all that he had committed, and also because of the innocent blood that he had shed. For he had filled Yerushalayim with innocent blood that the Lord was not willing to pardon. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and his son Jehoiachin became king in his place. No longer did the king of Egypt march out of his country, for the king of Babel had seized all the land that once belonged to the king of Egypt, from the Wadi of Egypt to the Euphrates River. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 3 months. His mother's name was Nehushta, daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. But he did what was evil in the Lord's eyes, like all his father had done. At that time, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babel's troops marched against Jerusalem, and the city fell under siege. Then King Nebuchadnezzar of Babel himself arrived at the city while his troops were besieging it. Then King Jehoiachin of Judah, his mother, his courtiers, his officials, and his eunuchs surrendered to the king of Babel. So the king of Babel took him captive in the 8th year of his reign. He also carried off from there all the treasures of the Lord's house and the treasures of the royal palace, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold that King Shlomo of Israel had made in the temple of the Lord, just as the Lord had said. Then he exiled all Jerusalem, all the captains, all the mighty men of valor, all the craftsmen and the smiths, 10,000 exiles. None was left except the poorest sort of the people of the land. So he deported Jehoiachin to Babel, along with the king's mother, the king's wives, his officials, and the notables of the land. He deported all as captives from Jerusalem to Babel. All the men of valor, 7,000 strong and fit for war, and 1,000 craftsmen and smiths, the king of Babel also took as captives to Babel. Then the king of Babel appointed Matania, Jehoiachin's uncle, king in his place, and changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, daughter of Yirmiyahu of Livna. But he did what was evil in the Lord's eyes, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord, it came to a point in Jerusalem and Judah that he finally banished them from his presence. Then Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babel. That was 2 Kings 24. Our portion today from the writings is Psalm 139. For the music director, a psalm of David. Lord, you search me and know me. Whenever I sit down or stand up, you know it. You discern my thinking from afar. You observe my journeying and my resting, and you are familiar with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, the Lord, you know all about it. You hemmed me in behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your Ruach? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in Sheol, look, you are there too. If I take the wings of the dawn and settle on the other side of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely darkness covers me, night keeps light at a distance from me. Even darkness is not dark for you, and night is as bright as day. darkness and light are alike. For you have created my conscience. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am awesomely, wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows that very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in that secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was unformed, and in your book were written the days that were formed, when not one of them had come to be. How precious are your thoughts, O God! How great is the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God! Away from me, you bloody men, for they speak about you with wicked intent. Your enemies reproach you in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord? Do I not loathe those who rise against you? I hate them with total hatred. I consider them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Examine me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any offensive way within me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That was Psalm 139. And now our portion from the Apostles is Acts chapter 7, verse 1 through 29. And here we have just concluded that Stephen was arrested, and the Sanhedrin is watching intently to hear what he has to say. Then the Kohen Gadol said, "Are these things so?" Stephen declared, "Brothers and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. He said to him, 'Leave your country and your relatives, and come here to the land that I will show you.' Then he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. From there, after his father died, God moved him to this land, where you now live. He gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foothold, yet he promised to give it to him as a possession to him and to his descendants after him, even though he had no child. But God spoke in this way, that his descendants would be foreigners in a land belonging to others, and they would enslave and mistreat them for 400 years. But I will judge the nation they serve as slaves, God said, and afterward they shall come out and serve me in this place. Then God gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision. So he became the father of Yitzchak and circumcised him on the eighth day, and so Yitzchak with Yaakov, and Yaakov with the 12 patriarchs. The patriarchs became jealous of Yosef and sold him to Egypt. Yet God was with him. He rescued him out of all his troubles and granted him favor and wisdom before Paro, king of Egypt, who made him governor over Egypt and all his household. Famine and great suffering came over all Egypt and Canaan, and our fathers could find no food. But when Yaakov heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our fathers there the first time. On the second visit, Yosef made himself known to his brothers, and his family became known to Paro. So Yosef sent and called for Yaakov and all his relatives, 75 persons. Yaakov went down to Egypt and died, he and our fathers. They were carried to Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham had bought for a sum of money from the sons of Hamor in Shechem. But as the time drew near for the promise God had sworn to Abraham, the people increased and multiplied in Egypt, until there arose another king over Egypt, who knew nothing about Yosef. Dealing with our people with cruel cunning, this king mistreated our fathers and forced them to abandon their infants so that they would not survive. At this time, Moshe was born, extraordinary before God. For 3 months, he was nurtured in his father's house, and when he was set outside, Paro's daughter took him and raised him as her own son. Moshe was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was powerful in his words and deeds. When he was approaching 40 years of age, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, Bnei Israel. When he saw one of them being treated unjustly, he went to the defense of the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. He was assuming that his brothers understood that by his hand God was delivering them, but they did not understand. So on the next day, he appeared to them as they were fighting. He tried to reconcile in shalom, saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you wrong one another?" But the one doing wrong to his neighbor pushed him away, saying, "Who appointed you ruler and judge over us? You don't want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday, do you?" At this remark, Moshe fled and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons. That was Acts 7, 1 through 29. And you probably heard my dog both drinking water and eating some food from the dog food bowl. Sorry about that. It is, as we have said so many times, this podcast is a podcast for busy moms and busy people, and it is by busy moms. Sometimes we just have no choice but to record, even though conditions aren't perfect. So thank you for your understanding. The last portion that you'll be reading today, by the way, if you are going through the New Testament twice this year, is Revelation chapter 1. I just want to mention also that I am finally buttoning up the last pieces of my first mail out for the email list that I mentioned a while back. You may remember that I made one attempt and the service online, the email service that I was using, flagged me and would not allow me, said I was breaking or violating some kind of guidelines. So with Sarah Ruth's help, I found a different place where I can do my mail out, and I'm working on sending out the first one. If you had not heard about it and you want to receive an email from me on a regular basis with just a little bit of staying in touch and sharing from my heart, then go ahead and let me know. You can send me an email to dailybreadmoms@gmail.com, and I'll put you on that list. All right. Thanks so much and have a blessed day. I'm Johanna with Daily Bread for Busy Moms. Shalom until next time.